This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The fallout over President Trump's decision to end DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, continues. This morning here in Washington, congressional leaders on both sides have added their voices to the debate. A key part of that debate is the business community. More than 400 CEOs of large and small companies are opposing the president's decision to end DACA. But other than signing letters and defending individual employees, what can businesses do? Joining us from New York are Dave Gilboa and Neil Blumenthal, the co-founders of the eyeglass line Warby Parker. They are among the CEOs who signed on to that letter urging Mr. Trump to keep DACA. Dave, Neil, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having us.
Dave Gilboa, tell us, why did your company sign on to this letter?
For us, this is both a moral and an economic issue. We have 800,000 people who came to this country as children, who grew up in this country, were able to get an education, are now contributing to the economy, contributing hundreds of billions of dollars to the economy. And we think it's crazy that the government would try to change the legal status and deport 800,000 people. And we also think it's a moral issue. The U.S. was built on immigrants. I'm personally an immigrant. I moved to the U.S. when I was six and have had the benefit of getting an education here, now starting a business with my co-founders. We've created over 1,000 jobs in the U.S. And many of these dreamers are providing benefit. And so for us, we're unbelievably disappointed and think this is a bad issue on both moral and economic and societal grounds.
Neil Blumenthal, how does DACA affect Warby Parker directly? Do you have any employees who are covered by this or who have family members that are covered?
So we happily don't know, to be honest. We know that, our 1,300 plus employees are all authorized to work in the U.S., but we don't explicitly ask if somebody is protected under DACA, and we don't plan to. But we're certain that we probably have a few, and we know that some of our customers are probably within this 800,000 group of people. Again, we're in an economy, right, that's driven by talent. Talent wants to work at businesses that are values-driven, and our employees expect us to take a stand and expect us to live for Warby Parker's values, which are completely aligned with America's values, right, and that we can build a business that does well and does good in the world. And frankly, right, this decision to rescind DACA, right, is completely, it's the antithesis of the American dream.
We're speaking to Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa of Warby Parker. We're only discussing it for this segment for the next few minutes before we move on to our conversation with Kurt Anderson. So please do share your questions and thoughts on this right away. Email 1A@WAMU.org. Talking about the business aspect, the bottom line aspect of DACA in the U.S. You can also comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. Now, a number of other business leaders, particularly tech companies, have been speaking out against ending DACA. Here is Brad Smith, the president of Microsoft, speaking to NPR this week.
If the government wants to deport a dreamer who is one of our employees, it's going to have to go through us to get that person. A tax reform bill needs to be set aside until the dreamers are taken care of. They have a deadline that expires in 6 months. Tax reform can wait.
That was Brad Smith, the president of Microsoft, speaking to NPR. Dave, what do you think? Does Brad echo your sentiments?
Absolutely. For us, there are real business implications. There are 800,000 people in this country that are earning money, that are providing tax income to the country, that are also our customers, that could be our employees. But for us, this is really, there's a bigger moral issue here, and we want to make sure that citizens and those that are in this country that have had legal protection to be in this country have the opportunity to continue to live the American dream. And we want to make sure that we put those people first before issues like tax reform that would probably have a bigger impact on our business and other businesses, but want to make sure that we're protecting the people of this country first.
Neil, what about the counter argument to leaving DACA in place in terms of its constitutionality? You know, Brad Smith mentioned tax reform. Immigration reform is certainly badly needed in the U.S. and has been for some time. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions mentioned that DACA crossed a constitutional line. And so if we want to protect these young people, we have to do it through the bounds of the law and not with a procedure that doesn't pass constitutional muster. I understand the values of your business as you've articulated them, but what about that other piece about making sure we do this properly?
Yeah, I listened to Jeff Sessions speak yesterday, and most of what came out of his mouth, to be honest, were half-truths or lies, right? There have been hundreds, literally hundreds of constitutional lawyers that have said that DACA is constitutional. He also made arguments that this didn't make sense on economic grounds, which is simply untrue, right? We know that right-leaning and left-leaning think tanks have done a ton of research here and have said pretty much across the board that over the next decade, these 800,000 dreamers will contribute hundreds of billions of dollars to our GDP. The number that, we've been quoting is $460 billion. We know that, 72% of the top 25 Fortune 500 companies have DACA recipients in their workforce. We know that 97% of DACA recipients are in school or in the workforce. 65% have purchased a vehicle. 16% have purchased their first home. And these are young people. So if you have 16% that have already purchased a home today, imagine, what that percentage will be over the next 10 years. So, when I hear the Attorney General saying this is unconstitutional, this doesn't make economic sense, it's not believable. It doesn't stand up to rigor.
Let me get to a few of your comments about the future of DACA. One listener emailed, people in areas of our country who are undergoing radical change as jobs they've worked for generations are going away, like coal and manufacturing, could take inspiration from the Dreamers and especially from the Dreamers' parents. If our own workforce could bring themselves to strike out and seek new opportunities rather than simply staying in depressed, all but abandoned places hoping for a miracle, it would be a great thing for them and for our economy. And they could stop resenting the Dreamers who have found opportunity where other Americans seem to find only desperation and defeat. Michael writes, why is it fair for these people under 31 to skip the legal path to citizenship? All those who navigated the process are being cheated. Neil, I imagine that you were not seeking for Warby Parker to get dragged into a debate on immigration. But what about that? I mean, your company is taking a position on this. What would you say to a potential Warby Parker customer who is concerned about your company supporting people who, in his view, cheated the immigration process?
And I think that's frankly un-American, right? We're talking about children that were brought into this country, anywhere from being a few days old to several years old, right? Who didn't make an active decision to, quote, cheat the system. So I don't buy the initial assumption there. I think the other piece is that, Warby Parker, we like to say we sit at the intersection of the fashion and design world, the tech startup world, and the social enterprise world. And if you're a social enterprise, right, you take the world for what it is today, and you try to make solutions and try and solve problems that are really difficult. And this is a challenge. Immigration as a whole is a complex issue. You have 800,000 people here that were brought to the country illegally. And the question is, what do we do about that today? And the moral answer, the economic answer, the solution here is that you keep keep them in this country, right? And, you know, DACA was designed pretty thoughtfully, right? These are people that go through background checks, right? These are people that are contributing to society. So it's really about what do we do today, given the status quo.
Let me get in one more comment before we have to move on. Zachary commented at our website, the1a.org, businesses want dreamers because they work for less. Dave, at the end of the day, before we have to go, is this really just a bottom line issue? How much of this really is moral, is ethical, and how much of it is the pure dollars and cents of being able to take advantage of a potentially lower paid workforce? Briefly.
You know, for us, it's both a moral and economic issue. You know, we see 800,000 contributing members to society that are creating jobs. Again, a lot of these people came to the country as young children, as did I. I came to the U.S. when I was 6 years old. I had the opportunity to become educated, to start my own business, and a lot of these 800,000 dreamers will do the same. And so I think there is a lot of justification on economic grounds that our country will be better off with these dreamers in the country. But it's also a moral argument that these are children who grew up in this country and should have the same opportunities as everyone else who was born here or immigrated here with citizenship and should have a path to earn that right to stay here.
That's Dave Gilboa and Neil Blumenthal, the co-founders and co-CEOs of Warby Parker. Dave, Neil, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
When we come back, we will dive in with Kurt Anderson, the author of the new book, Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a 500-year history. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.